Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our message this morning is based upon the scripture reading appointed for this day, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, those verses which were just read. A special day today, presentation of the Miles Christie Award to Mrs. Betty Duda, and I suppose that would give us an opportunity to spend a lot of time praising Mrs. Duda for accomplishments and the tasks which God has given to her, her life as wife and mother and grandmother, her service on boards and commissions, and particularly her service as president of the LWML over a period of many years. I suppose it would also be an opportunity to praise the Lutheran Women's Missionary League for their tasks and their accomplishments, the mission supported through mic boxes, the seeds that are given, the little packets given out, the Bible studies that are prepared, LWML quarterlies, devotions, now the videos. But if we were to spend our time speaking just of those kind of things, we would miss both the point of the text and we would also miss the purpose of the special award. For the purpose of that award and the point in our text is that it is God at work. It is God at work. We praise and give thanks to God for his work in and through people. First of all, God at work in people. It seems strange as we read the text that the Apostle Paul praises God for his work in the Corinthian Christians, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. That church at Corinth was the church that had more problems than any other congregation to which Paul wrote. We can list several of them. It was a congregation with deep division. Some who said, I am of Paul, others said, I am of Apollos, others, I am of Cephas, others, I am of Christ. In addition to those divisions, it was a congregation that had someone in there living in open immorality, and the congregation, rather than deal with it, was proud of their openness in somehow accepting that. It was a congregation in which some denied the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was a congregation in which their worship was chaotic. It was a congregation which used their fellowship meals as an opportunity for the rich to snub the poor, and I suppose we could go on and on listing the problems. Yet despite all of that, the apostle says of this group, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. We can understand why Paul would say that when we look at how that congregation was formed. The apostle comes to Corinth, a city known for its wickedness. He desires to plant a mission there. Takes up tent making with Aquila and Priscilla. Goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. There speaks the message to them. Man separated from God because of his sin, deserving only God's eternal wrath. Speaks to them the message, but God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Speaking to them the certain assurance that God indeed loved them, that God had given the gift of his Son to redeem and forgive them. And there were those who heard that message. Now, Paul was not permitted to continue on speaking that message in the synagogue, but there was a house right next door to the synagogue. And so that small group of believers met there. For in a year and a half, the apostle continues his work planting that congregation. Now he can write to them and say, I thank God for you. I thank God on your behalf for the grace that was given to you in Christ Jesus. The apostle thanks God for God at work. Notice again the emphasis in our text. Paul's emphasis, I thank my God for the grace, God's undeserved mercy, for that which was given to you. He's saying it's all God. It's God who has completed his work, not only in redeeming you in Christ Jesus, but calling you to faith. I think of the words of Luther's explanation to the third article. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel. And so it is also with all of us. As God has also called you, as you prepare yourself for pastoral ministry, or if we are speaking to you as a faculty member, or if we are speaking to Mrs. Betty Duda, and we think of the grace which God has given to her, or if we think of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, in all of that, it is God who has used pious parents, neighbors, pastors and teachers to speak and to bring that message, first of all, that message of the need for salvation. The fact that man separated from God by sin deserves only God's eternal damnation and wrath. Yet God, in His mercy, sending the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, His Son going all the way to the cross to bear the burden of sin for us, so that you and I might know the joy of forgiven, that we might hear the words of our gracious God, who says to us, I will remember your sins no more. So that even though there may be those memories of sins that haunt me and trouble me and bother me, that even as I think about them, I can recall that promise. They are forgotten in the sea of God's forgetfulness, washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. Also the promise of the resurrection, that Son of God who was raised again from the dead and who speaks that promise, because I live, you shall live also. So that what we celebrate today, and what we praise, and for that for which we praise God, is His grace. That joy of forgiveness and salvation, but even more than that, for the apostle goes on in our text to speak in terms of the enrichment of God's grace. He speaks of that God who says, who enriches people in all utterance and in all knowledge. Paul gives thanks to God for that Corinthian congregation because they were enriched in all knowledge, in their understanding. And they were also enriched in their utterance. God gave to them that which was necessary that they might proclaim that message and share that message and speak that message. Enriched by God's grace in Jesus Christ. God at work in people, in those Corinthian Christians, but also God at work through people. We see it again in the example of the Apostle Paul. God at work through the Apostle Paul, using him there at Corinth to plant a mission, to start a congregation under the most difficult circumstances. God using the members of that congregation in this letter, and also in his second letter to the church at Corinth, the apostle mentions by name particular people who were indeed blessings, enriched by God, not only with the joy and the knowledge of salvation which was theirs, but enriched by God in utterance and in knowledge, and so serving God, God working through them as that message reached out also to that community. So it is fitting that today we celebrate God at work in people, God at work through people. It's very proper that we give thanks to God for His work through people. We give thanks to God today for you, Betty, for the gifts which God has given you, for God's grace to you, calling you to faith, but also enriching you with special gifts so that you are able to serve in a variety of ways and in a very special way and to be a blessing to God's kingdom. We give thanks to God today for the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. I think of thousands upon thousands of ladies in our church body who serve God in special ways in their homes and in their churches, and then banded together in the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, serve God not only through their mites, but to serve God also in the very special project, the mustard seeds and the Bible studies, the videos and all of the other tasks. We give thanks to God for His work in and through people. But as we do so, we can see a tremendous need for that message to be proclaimed, and I suppose it's sometimes easy for us to become almost disheartened in the task. Just this past week, I was talking to someone who had been a part of an ongoing Ambassadors for Christ team that were making visits in one of the cities in our district. He told about sitting down with a young man who admitted to the visitors that he was living a sinful lifestyle. He really had no desire to break that lifestyle. The reason, because he knew he was not going to be saved, that he was not going to heaven anyway, and he might just as well get all he could while he was here on earth because there was no hope for him. This was one who understood the law, who understood what sin does, but who had no knowledge of the gospel. This member of the ongoing Ambassadors for Christ mentioned that at this particular weekend, he had run into a higher percentage of people thinking that way than he had at any previous time when they had been out visiting. I think of the fact that there are 3 million unchurched in Indiana. And that as we look at the world around us with the emphasis that we see and hear in the mass media, that the kind of sins that are just somehow seem to be rampant in our society, the tremendous need that is there, and we praise God that in the midst of that kind of world, He works in people with His grace and His mercy, and then through people, giving them utterance and knowledge. And it is because of this that we can also see the needs of the world and still serve our God with a kind of holy optimism. The Apostle Paul, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, for all of you, for the grace which is given you by God in Christ Jesus, for God's grace enriching you with all knowledge and in utterance, God enabling you. And so whether we are speaking to those of you preparing for the pastoral office, those of you serving as faculty members, for you, Betty, with the burdens and the tasks of your office, it's so easy, I suppose, for all of us at some time to say, how are we going to do it all? How are we going to manage? Can it possibly be that the tasks that confront us can be carried out? And then the apostle would bid us to look again at the grace of God. The grace which takes us unworthy sinners, and claims us as His own, forgives and redeems us in Christ, and then enriches us with His grace in Christ Jesus, enabling and empowering us for the task which confronts us. That's true for you. That's true for the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. That's true for you in your studies, in your tasks as faculty members, whatever place and whatever task God puts before you in service to Him. There's a promise there. In fact, it's a promise which the apostle speaking to the Corinthian congregation says, you lack no good gift. Every gift that you need for the task, God gives it to you. You are enriched by His grace. He follows it up, kind of a summary statement, in his second letter to this same congregation when he writes to them, not only that you lack no gift, but he says, my God shall supply all your need. What a promise. What a promise. So we face the tasks that God gives to us with a kind of holy optimism. We do so giving thanks to God for His special grace. We see the examples of those who serve with great commitment, and we see not their power, but God at work in and through them, and we give thanks to God for them. We look at the tasks which confront us and know that that same God who supplies also Mrs. Duda, the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, and others of whom we may think that as God supplies them and gifts and enables them for their task, so also shall He supply and gift and enable us for the task which He gives to us. So the church, at the task which God has given it, to share the message of God's grace to a sinful and a fallen world. Amen.